Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Sunny Mary Meadow podcast. I am your host, Liz Fidler, and today I have a guest named Tracy joining me on the podcast, and she's going to tell you a little bit about her involvement in flowers, and then we're going to get to the meat of what we're going to talk about today. So Tracy, can you tell us where you're from, what your involvement with flower farming is, and then we'll kind of get going.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so excited to chat with you today. My name is Tracy Kuchar. I've just in the last couple of years started my business called Lost Farm Company with the goal of growing and selling cut flowers on my property here in central New Jersey. Probably the closest landmark is Princeton University, about 10 minutes from downtown Princeton in New Jersey, which is the Garden State. There are surprisingly a ton of flower farms popping up all around in New Jersey now. So I think this is really a great place to be doing this. I have a property that is about 3 acres. I lived in my home for 25 years. It's a house that's about 125 plus years old that used to be the main farmhouse in the area. So I feel like this is really, for me, I'm very sentimental about this house. I'm only the second owner family who's ever lived in this house in this lifetime. So I kind of, that's where this like lost farm idea sort of came from. I kind of feel like it's bringing it back maybe a little bit to what it was. I had always heard also that one of the ladies who lived in the house a long time ago had a beautiful garden. So I just kind of feel like it's sort of connected somehow.
We're going to talk about customer experience today because you have not been a flower farmer your whole career. What did you do before this and what are your credentials to talk about customer experience?
Yes, well, I am a certified customer experience professional, a CCXP. You probably never heard of that.
I have not.
That's okay. Not a lot of people have. It is a credential that requires studying for an exam and then ongoing continuing education credits. So what that really is treating customer experience as a discipline in the same way that accounting is a discipline. And you would recognize a certified accountant and all of the best practices and things that go with accounting. So there's this body of knowledge with customer experience and applying it to a business and business problems and business solutions. Prior to getting my CCXP, my background is retail. I started a retail toy store kind of on the tail end of college. And so ran that store for about 20 years, grew from one location to 3 locations. This was before the internet, before Amazon, before retailing it is today. So very much a specialty retail store. That was really fun to grow that business over that time. I had a really wonderful team. I really always considered that we were really the best specialty toy store in the area. And we were fortunate enough to receive different accolades like best toy store in New Jersey a couple times and then different local awards and things like that. So I think this idea of customer experience as a differentiator for me really goes far back to my toy store and my retailing days. I kind of think I was doing that and my team was doing that before it really had a name and a discipline. Mm-hmm. And then after I made the decision to close up the stores, then I started working in the specialty appliance industry, luxury appliances, and with showrooms and retailing and customer experience within that field.
So I think you said this in one of your messages to me as we were kind of talking about what we were going to talk about on the podcast. And, you know, customer experience is not the same as customer satisfaction or, you know, what, tell us a little bit more about how you try to have a great customer experience within your flower farm, for example.
Yeah. So a lot of people think customer experience and customer service would be the same thing. And they're definitely related, but we typically will think of customer experience is the sum of all of the interactions that the customer has with your business and their impressions of that. you will hear a lot of times the customer journey and all of the kind of points along the customer journey as they're interacting with your business. The interesting thing there is people can form impressions of your business or have parts in their journey that you don't control. So I could think that I have a horrible experience visiting your flower farm because there's road construction outside, mm-hmm. or, you know, there's a light that's, you know, takes a really long time to turn, or any of these other things that are outside of your control. Or maybe it could just be because I had a bad day and a bad start to my day, but the customer is going to think of all of those things together, where mm-hmm. you are probably only going to see a small portion of them. Mm-hmm. And then customer service is really typically very transactional. So a lot of people might say that customer service is when the customer experience breaks down or there's a problem. That's when customer service kicks in. Like, hey, I didn't get my delivery, so I call customer service to track down my delivery. But there's also times when you might call customer service comes in when, you know, something didn't necessarily go wrong, but, you know, it's just a transaction, like paying a bill or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I definitely, this winter right now in my off season, I am revamping all of the things with my business. So honestly, it's been almost a year in March since I quit being a full-time nurse practitioner and am doing the flower farming full-time and now the coaching and the podcast and all of the pieces mm-hmm. with it. But my fiance and I had a conversation about, like, let's give it 2 years, two full years. And if this is not the life that we want, if it's not doing, you know, it's a fun hobby and it's a fun, you know, but if at the end of the day, we're like, you know, when we look at our P&L statements, are we really making any money? And how much am I working? And how much, like, is this worth it? Am I enjoying it? And, you know, what needs to be fixed? And so I knew that I was having fun with the business. I was having great sales, but me not doing it full time, I wasn't even getting to know my customers very well. And we just kind of took this moment to revamp. So that was last year, was kind of figuring out exactly what products and just like our efficiencies of running the farm. And now this winter is, yep, that experience, the route that customers take, how they contact me. I've completely spent time revamping that, because it used to be, oh, just send me an email. It's like, okay, no. And then it's emails back and forth. And then, so I actually now have an assistant who sorts my emails for me. And then she also sends the podcast guests and lines up those things. But I have like forms on my website to gather information, you know, okay, here's your wedding. What's your budget? What's your vision? Send us your Pinterest board, all of that right away. Because before it was just emails back and forth. And yeah, the customer experience, I'm like, okay, I know they know who I am and they've experienced, you know, being on the farm, but that chaos, I promise the end product is going to be pretty, but if the process to get there is stressful for a bride, they're not going to want to keep coming to me. And I am humble enough to admit that, I've been just trying to figure out how to run this business, but customer experience is something I'm really trying to focus on improving right now. So yeah, whatever tips and things you want to talk about there, I would love to hear it.
Yeah. So you just kind of talked about kind of how hard is it to be your customer? So I think that's like a really easy place for people to start, because, you know, I know if you're starting a business and it's on the side, or maybe you don't have a lot of experience, it might sound really daunting to, oh, now I have to think about this other area that I don't know anything about, in addition to just growing the flowers and selling mm-hmm. the flowers, right? It doesn't have to be too overwhelming, but so just kind of getting in the habit of thinking, how hard is it to be my customer? How mm-hmm. hard is it to place an order with me online? How hard is it to contact me? Mm-hmm. So when you just use that example of telling someone, oh, just email me, you know, you've kind of, in that situation, a customer might feel that you've sort of put the work on them to bring up something, rather than maybe you could sort of take some of that away if you had a really easy intake form. Mm-hmm. Or this is why people use QR codes to scan to bring them to places. Any of these ways to make things easy. So in customer experience, we think about this triangle. And at the base of the triangle is, customers will judge their experience just on how it meets their needs, right? So the is the most basic thing of they're selecting you. So it meets eat needs. And then kind of as the pyramid goes up, and then it's easy. And then the very top of the pyramid, it's enjoyable. So you kind of want to keep moving up with those steps, right? If you're not meeting the needs and then being easy, you can't even get to the step with them of being, you know, is enjoyable, which is probably the point where you really are differentiating yourself from your competition.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, and I might quote it wrong, but there's something I heard about, like, you know, when you're shopping around or when you're trying to, you know, whether you're building a house or remodeling or getting flowers for your wedding, you know, they say it can be fast, it can be cheap, or it can be good, and pick two. And that's kind of, you know, with the customer experience, you know, I think we as flower farmers, for example, you know, or whatever, a lot of hobby businesses, I think, are guilty of this in thinking like, well, the product speaks for itself, the product, they're buying a product. And that's fine when you're just starting out. But when you want to start, you know, something like a wedding or something that is, it's not just a product, it's not just the end day, it's how easy it was, how enjoyable that was. Is the bride getting what they want? Or, you know, and it, you know, if you want that full experience, you're going to have to pay a little bit more for it, because you're, whether it's a traditional florist or a studio florist or whoever, is going to have different price scales for different times they're meeting with the customers, and, you know, just making sure to account for that. But, you know, I think it's so much more than the end product.
So when you're talking about quality and value that the customer is getting, and I think that's an area too, where a lot of people might think that quality is something that is costs a lot of money or has certain characteristics to it. Or but you have to keep in mind that the customer decides what the value is, right? And so in CX, there's a definition of value. A value to a customer is what they get versus what they give up. And that's going to be different for everybody. So that could mean shopping at the dollar store could be a really great value to somebody, what they get something for a dollar. And to somebody else, it could be a really poor value because I'm going to get something that maybe I don't have a great selection. So I'm settling for something that I don't want, or I'm going to get something that's not going to last a long time. So value doesn't really have anything to do with price. It really has to do with your customer's need and what they're looking for and their perception in that moment too. So it could be, today what I'm looking for with flowers is one thing, but then I'm going to have a different perception of value, like you said, when I'm shopping for my bridal flowers, keeping these things in mind.
So what types of flowers, or what do you offer at your farm? And let's kind of talk about how you try to, you know, keep that customer experience. You know, what are the ways you sell flowers? Because I always tell people, I'm like, well, they have flowers and so do I. Well, it's kind of like food. Are you a restaurant? Are you a grocery store? Are you, you know, what people sell, you know, is it a $30 market bouquet? Is it a $10 farm stand bouquet? Is it, you know, a $300 bridal bouquet? Is it buckets to wholesalers? Is, you know, what is your flower farm product, and how do you help customers get a good experience from it?
Yeah. So this is something that I'm still figuring out, quite honestly. Last year was more of my experimental year, and then kind of really going full force this year. While I still have an off-farm job, this is not a full-time job by any means. And as I'm thinking about that and what kind of value that I can both offer people and feel that I could be the best at, I like the idea of selling wholesale to florists, some local ones who really value local sustainable blooms. I'm pretty lucky that there are a couple who that is their preference. They really don't want to buy from wholesalers. So we have that market here. And then knowing that there are a lot of other flower farmers in the area, how can I differentiate myself? So as I'm starting and I'm thinking, I don't necessarily want to go head to head on all of the focal blooms and people who are kind of probably a little bit ahead of me as far as producing quality stems. So I'm experimenting with things like the foliages and fillers and sort of interesting things that people would need on a regular basis. Like mm-hmm. they're always going to need Bupleurum, or they're always going to need little kind of sparkly twiddly bits of blue for their something mm-hmm. blue in their bouquets, mm-hmm. or you know, things like that. So I think that that's an area that I can add value to people right now and become a mm-hmm. consistent supplier. So that's one way.
That's a great idea, because you know there's always going to be a market for it. You know there's always going to be needing a little bit more of it, but yet, like you said, if you are starting from scratch with dahlia tubers, that's going to take forever. If you're, you know, mm-hmm. maybe you're the foliage and filler flower farmer.
mm-hmm. And I just, you know, personally, that appeals to me because mm-hmm. I'm always interested in these things like scented geraniums or rosemary or mm-hmm. herbs that might be a little bit different that other people mm-hmm. aren't offering. So I know, you know, it's this balance of.
And a lot of that can be done with perennials too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I have the space to do that here. So mm-hmm. that's one direction I'm going in. The other area that I'm interested in is actually corporate events. My regular full-time job is I'm a building experience manager at an office building, which means I'm responsible for the amenities and the programming and the services to help make a great day at work for the folks in that building. So I regularly bring in vendors who do different pop-ups and things like that. Mm-hmm. I've done wreath workshops there myself and mm-hmm. pumpkin succulents and kind of things like that. But so this idea of being able to do corporate events mm-hmm. for people to share just everyday joy of flowers is also something that I'm interested in, that I believe in. You know, if I kind of think, what are the things that are going to sort of light me up and mm-hmm. make me want to keep doing this work? A lot of times I think that people just save flowers for special occasions and weddings. And mm-hmm. I would say that I believe they really should be shared every day. And I've seen when I share them with people every day. So mm-hmm. That's the other area I would say that's of interest to me, where I think that I could provide value that maybe a lot of other people aren't focusing on.
Taking a quick break from this episode to ask a very, very tiny favor of you. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit pause and go and give us a 5-star rating. If you feel compelled or inclined to write a review, that would be so appreciated. But honestly, the rating is all we're asking right now. Podcasts get recommended to people based on downloads and keywords and ratings. And if lots of people are listening and rating it high, then the platforms try to find more people that they think will also like it. So it's a really simple and easy thing for you to do, but it really does mean so much to us. So please consider hitting pause, giving it a 5-star rating, and then coming back and finishing this episode. Thank you.
So let's say your target customer is a studio florist. I have a studio florist that buys a lot of flowers from me. And her definition of a studio florist is she does events. She doesn't necessarily have a storefront. She's not available for like funerals or, you know, same day. It's primarily events, mostly weddings, but some corporate events. And so she buys pretty much everything she can locally, seasonally. For the most part, most of the weddings take place in the summer. So how would you enhance that customer experience knowing that she is the customer?
The studio florist is the yes. customer. Yeah. I mean, one of the main tenets, I would say, of customer experience is this idea of voice of the customer. Really just means getting feedback from the customer. And you can do this in many different ways. You can literally ask them, right, what they think of things, what they want, what they like, what they don't like. A lot of times people don't actually, you'd be surprised, necessarily know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they say something that they think they should say, and it's not actually true. So sometimes there's a little bit of learning and how to engineer conversations to really get some good feedback from people. Mm-hmm. Also kind of going back to that idea of asking people to customers to do too much work. You know, you don't want to bombard them with surveys too much or things like that, because you're giving them work. But there's other ways that you can observe what people are doing through comments that they leave on your website or comments that they leave on your Instagram or review, you know, things like that, and try to like pull in through observing them when you go to visit them, or you observe their interactions or observe what they have in their studio, observe their work that they published or shared, things like that. So there's different ways to kind of to get that voice of the customer feedback, and then take that and pull some actionable things from it. One of the things that I like to ask people too is, when do you choose to buy from me? And mm-hmm. when do you not choose to buy from me? Mm-hmm. Right? And it doesn't mean that when they choose not to, maybe that's an area that you don't want to pursue, because mm-hmm. customer experience, it doesn't mean that you have to be all things to all customers.
Correct.
By any means. I think that you're a big proponent of really focusing in your business and knowing where you want to focus your energy and where you don't want to focus your energy. Mm-hmm. So not to suggest that you have to be everything to everybody, but if this particular florist says, I purchase from you when I have somebody who wants a really bohemian wildflower sort of wedding, because my perception is that your flowers are that, but I don't purchase from you when somebody wants a very, formal arrangement, because my mm-hmm. perception is that you don't have that. Mm-hmm. And so then with that information, you could say, okay, yes, that is true. And mm-hmm. I don't have the other product and I don't want to, or maybe mm-hmm. they don't know what you have, or mm-hmm. maybe they've revealed something else that could be a good fit for you to explore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kind of asking questions like that, I think, of when don't you choose to go with me? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's, I don't have a big enough delivery and you only deliver on Fridays or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, the wrong day of the week for me. So it could be something operational of why they don't go mm-hmm. with you. But I think that's a really good place to start. Sometimes they don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, for an example, as we're sticking with the studio florist, so I have one that she started buying from me last summer, toward the end of the summer. And then it's like, she came back every week. And by the end of every week, it was $800, $900, $1,200 worth of flowers every single week toward the end. Cause she just knew by then what I had. And, you know, and there were a couple times she's like, oh, I wish you grew this. I wish you grew that. And I was like, I can grow that. Like, just tell me if you want more celosia or more this. And so when I went to order my plugs, I sat down with her and I said, okay, I understand. And she's going to have a maternity leave this summer. So she's not doing as many weddings earlier in the summer, but like, what colors do you want? Because if she's needing them, I know other florists are. And from there, her feedback was, I don't want to have to constantly shop around. I just, you know, want to know what you have. And so I took the time and it's done now. And I have a 30-page PDF breaking down every single week what should be blooming, exact flowers, exact colors, everything. And then I have an order form on my website. So she or other wholesale florists can just fill that out, and they can fill it out 2 months before the wedding. I'll have a spreadsheet. I just getting a system in place so that things don't get lost. I don't even want to go back and look at my emails from even like last summer or the summer before, because I know there are things that are missed. I know that there were customers asking me for something, and we always try to improve. We always try to, you know, but you're kind of like drinking from a fire hydrant and trying to figure out what's efficient. But for me, I tried to really just sit down with her and say, okay, what would set me apart from other flower farmers in the area? And she's like, well, I wish you grew this, this, this. I'm like, well, is it that simple? And she's like, if I can just come. And she loves the fact that I have a really big cooler, so she can come pick up the flowers on Thursday or Friday. Cause she's like, I don't want them on Tuesday or Wednesday. And she's like, if they're in your cooler, fine. But she's like, if I can come get them the day that I need them and you can hold them in your cooler for me. And she knows that what she's going to get in the mail, or, you know, and it's just a 10 mile down the road. So I think that's just asking specifically, if you have a target customer, what would you like?
Yeah. And that's great that she wants to work so closely with you too, mm-hmm. because then that's your ideal customer. Mm-hmm. You could probably ask the same question of somebody else who mm-hmm. doesn't want to be bothered answering those questions, or they just want to do their own thing. And so that's where also too, for you, you could try and find more customers who have that same sort of mindset, who probably are mm-hmm. she probably in turn is very high touch and very mm-hmm. one-on-one and personalized mm-hmm. with her customers. And that's mm-hmm. probably why that she appreciated that ability to work with you to get mm-hmm. the product.
Yeah, so I can't ask all of my 100 subscription holders exactly, because I think I would go crazy trying to like please them all. And again, we know this, accepting the fact that I am not for everyone. You are not for everyone. We don't have to be, we're not going to be everyone's customer. So find out what our target product is, what our target customer is, and meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. By no means does having a broader view of CX and customer experience mean that you need to be everything to all people. And being very clear on that, and if you have employees, making sure that your employees are clear on that too, is really important. If you take a couple of minutes to, at some point, to just kind of think of a CX vision statement and something just pretty simple that you can share, again, if you have employees, or even if you don't have employees, just clarifying it for yourself, I think is really helpful, of a simple statement of what you do, what your business is going to focus on, kind of what you believe in, and who the target is there. And then that can help guide decisions, right? So that you don't feel that you have to just take advantage of every opportunity that comes your way. Because if you have this statement in place and something comes your way and you hold it against that statement, say, does this fit with what I've decided where I want to go? And it's a lot clearer. And I think you can kind of feel a lot better, actually, because sometimes I think, especially when you're starting out, it kind of feels like you have to grab at everything. Mm-hmm. And it feels uncomfortable maybe to say no. The first couple of times you say, no, this isn't the fit for me. Mm-hmm. So having that vision statement can also help guide the activity of, if you do have employees. So employees are going to be interacting with people when you're not there, right? And you're leaving that in their hands. So if they have a clear definition of what your expectation is as far as the experience that you want to create for your customers, then they know how to make decisions, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's helpful too.
Yeah, I think, you know, just another example, I'm working on some videos that I can send to customers. We're trying to get it set up on my website. It's trickier than you think, but you know, when they sign up for my UPix, so I make people buy a ticket online ahead of time, because I am close to a pretty urban area. I could have 500 people at my farm if I just left it open. You know, it just, there's a lot of days where we sell out of tickets weeks ahead of time for every Saturday morning. And I don't want more than 60 people at my farm on a Saturday morning, because I want it to be relaxing. And so even if you're just watching, I do charge a $5 watching ticket, because otherwise it would be a free for all. If you could bring 3 kids and your mom for every purchase ticket, those 60 tickets could turn into 200 people. And again, that's not the experience that I want to offer. And I know that that definitely turns some people away. They're like, why do I have to pay $5 for my husband to come with me? I'm like, well, because it keeps the experience enjoyable, and I want it to be relaxing. But I am working on filming a video of like what to expect when you get here. You know, go to the check-in, and we're going to have a big sign that says check-in this year, and just kind of explain in the video already, you know, cut this many stems, do this, do that. Because I think some people really want that free experience, and some people didn't realize that they were signing up to cut their own and make their own. And then they stand there with their scissors and stare at me, and they're like, well, aren't you going to do it for me? I'm like, no, I literally cannot make your bouquet for you, because I have to supervise these 60 people that are here. And they're just confused. They thought it was maybe a bouquet making lesson, or, you know, and we're able to help for a few minutes here or there. But if you're coming thinking you're going to get a full private lesson and a private tour, and, you know, then nope, maybe sign up for, we actually do that on Tuesday mornings, private tours, or we do, you know, but that's not what this UPIC is. So just kind of setting those expectations, because we do offer a few different things. And as much as I would love to sit down with every single customer and teach them how to make a bouquet, that's just not what those Saturday mornings are, or else we can't do it. So I think just setting the expectation is really clear ahead of time, so maybe they know what they're buying.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really smart that you're going to use video. I feel like I don't see a lot of people using video to explain mm-hmm. things like that on their website, certainly mm-hmm. on Instagram, things like that. But I think there's a lot of opportunity for people to put in really like short mm-hmm. little videos to explain things. And what you're describing, so in CX, like one of the times when an experience fails or, you know, people are unhappy, it's generally because there's a gap between what they expected and what they got, mm-hmm. right? So if you do these videos and walk them through, this is what a day at the mm-hmm. UPIC looks like. You can help to close that gap. The tricky part is figuring out what did people expect. And that kind of goes back to being able to really listen and get feedback and see mm-hmm. maybe where things went wrong or somebody's understanding. Because there's lots of times, you know, you might think that you explain something really well, mm-hmm. and then you're surprised that somebody interpreted it a different way. So I think it's really being open also to that feedback mm-hmm. and not taking it personally, which I think as a small business owner is really hard. I know when I had my stores in the beginning, it's really hard to not take mm-hmm. it personally.
Well, and last summer, I will never forget, there was a group of 8 women, and one woman in their group, I felt really bad for her because I could tell she was just, I mean, she was anxious. Like her hands were shaking as everyone was trying to, was watching her and waiting for her to make her bouquet. And she was just like, her voice started trembling. She's like, I just don't know. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like it. I need help. And like, the more everyone kept staring at her, because you could tell she probably didn't know everyone in the group. And, you know, to me, a Saturday morning in the meadow should be the most relaxing thing, but it turned into, she didn't know what she was getting into. You know, her friend brought her or invited her. And, you know, it's just, you know, in that moment. And I just remember looking at her and I was like, do you want me to just make it for you? Is that okay? And she just like hands me the cup of flowers. And she's like, yeah, please. And I feel like the name UPIC is pretty obvious, but maybe, you know, just like there's certain experiences that aren't for everyone. And so I really think explaining what that is. And I'm coming up with kind of an algorithm to put on my website, kind of jokingly, like, we'll add a little humor, but like, are you a subscription girl? Are you a STEM bar girl? And I shouldn't say girl, there's men that come out too, but
one of those personality tests.
Yes. Like, yeah. You know, do you hate bugs? Do you hate dew? Do you hate walking on uneven ground? Do you hate getting up in the morning early on a Saturday? Cause we have to pick flowers before it gets too hot. Like you got to be here by 8:30 on a Saturday. And so, you know, do you hate those things? Well, then you're probably not going to be a UPIC. Are you crafty, but you enjoy, you know, a little bit of art, but maybe you don't want to pick the flowers. You just want to arrange them when they're already in buckets. Maybe then you're a STEM bar person. Or do you hate making things, but you just appreciate them? Then subscriptions are great for you. You pick up a pre-made bouquet, you know, just trying to like, yeah, again, set that expectation for the customer experience.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's a great idea. And then, I mean, you have the opportunity to do that in a really fun way, mm-hmm. you know, in language that matches your brand and your mm-hmm. tone. So it mm-hmm. becomes,
and there's nothing really wrong with reflection. Not being, you know, I see memes of it all the time. Like, I saw something like, I'm not outdoorsy, I'm outsidey. I like to drink on patios, or I like to sit by a campfire and then go check into my hotel. Like just, and that's okay too. You know?
Yeah.
Not everyone needs to want to be out in the meadow.
Yeah. You know, and by doing that and having people answer those questions, you've actually given them a really great, fun way to give you information and mm-hmm. that voice of the customer mm-hmm. data in a fun mm-hmm. way that's beyond a, you know, a regular survey. And so mm-hmm. then in addition to just to using it right then now you've kind of got information on, hey, here are people who love STEM bars or people who love, I don't know, roses or people mm-hmm. who love bugs and might be interested in content about, you know, all the beneficial insects that you bring mm-hmm. to the farm. And so like, it's a great way to get to really then personalized information.
Well, thank you so much. Do you have any, can you give us like your farm name again? How do we find you? someone's near Princeton University, they can look you up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's Lost Farm Company. I'm on Instagram as Lost Farm Co. And always love chatting with people about customer experience with small businesses or, of course, about flowers. So, yeah, would love to chat with anybody.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here, Tracy.
So thank you so much. It was really fun. Thank you for the conversation.
Thanks for listening to the Sunny Merrymeadow podcast. I'm your host, Liz. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and rate us. You can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook at Sunny Merrymeadow. Subscribe to our email newsletter at sunnymerrymeadow.com. And if you have questions or comments or anything to say, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@sunnymerrymeadow.com.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Merrymeadow, they smell so good. SunnyMerryMiddle.com